So, hi everybody. Anybody know how many days till football season kicks off? 13 for Georgia. That's all that matters. All right. I do have to admit, though, the countdown clock on the Georgia website that I go to is starting to go so slow. I don't know if we're ever going to get there. Well, if you're here for the first time, we are in a series on the book of Nehemiah. We've been doing this all summer. This is actually the 11th week. This is the longest series I've ever done. But this has been really cool. I have loved this sermon series. And special thanks to Matt Lammers and Lene Wabel, who preached the last 2 weeks while we were gone. I heard great things and really excited to have other people that are a part of our family sharing their voice and contributing to this conversation about what God is saying to us, who God is inviting us to be and to become. Now, real quick, I had kind of a new thought that I thought might be helpful in this conversation on Nehemiah. Nehemiah is this book is about rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Now, for the Jewish person in Nehemiah's day, Jerusalem represented a right relationship with God. That was where the presence of God dwelt, in the temple in Jerusalem. It was called the Holy City. And so Jerusalem, sitting on the hill there, represented God with the people and everything that was right about God. Now, on the other side of that coin, the destruction of the temple and all of the Jewish people being shipped out of Jerusalem into exile, that represented a torn relationship with God. It represented separation from God. So at its core, this story of Nehemiah, these last 11 weeks, it's all about the story of God restoring his lost children into a right relationship with himself. So in that sense, all this work that Nehemiah is doing to rebuild the walls and hang the gates and restore worship and all of these things, it's all about Nehemiah participating in the mission of God. And the mission of God is, present tense, is restoring the lost to a right relationship with God. That is the mission of God. Healing a broken world by drawing people back into a right relationship with him. Nehemiah is joining God as a participant in God's mission. And that's what this whole book is about. As each chapter unfolds, we see these new challenges that try to pull people's gaze away from that mission, onto these other things, the problems, the challenges, the obstacles, all these things that get in the way of the people seeing clearly the mission of God. We've used a word to describe this idea, and that word is repurposed. In a sense, repurposing is allowing God to reshape us and remold us through the lens of his mission. So we are repurposed in light of God's mission. This week, as we jump into chapter 11, we're looking at some of the closing chapters on what Nehemiah does to kind of repurpose the people of Israel. We're going to read, I think, just the first four chapters. I mean, and tomorrow we'll start preaching. The first four verses of chapter 11. Now the leaders of the people settled in Jerusalem, and the rest of the people cast lots to bring one out of every 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while the remaining 9 were to stay in their own towns. The people commended all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. These are the provincial leaders who settled in Jerusalem. Now some of the Israelites, priests, Levites, temple servants, and descendants of Solomon's servants lived in the towns of Judah, each on his own property in the various towns, while other people from Judah and Benjamin lived in Jerusalem. And then it goes on to describe and to name all these people that were relocated and where they lived. So we'll come back to that part later, but we're not going to read that long list of names today. It seems, though, here that Nehemiah is following through on this idea he had several chapters earlier. I mean, the problem is basically Jerusalem is this great, big, spacious city, and they've just finished rebuilding. The walls are up, and temple worship is going on, and they've got all these gates, but there's just not enough people. I mean, they don't even have enough people to stand guard at the gates. And so they need people to come back. Basically, what's happened is all these people came back from exile. Remember, they've been gone for generations. None of these people ever lived in Jerusalem. But what they did is they went back to the towns that their ancestors were from. They moved back to these villages that they had heard of and settled there. So you've got the people of Israel scattered all around, and you've got this magnificent city with hardly anybody in it. So they draw lots. They draw lots, and 10% of the population of every town goes and lives in Jerusalem. I kind of imagine it happening this way, that, you know, the men all get together and they draw their little straw, and the winner goes home and, "Hey, honey, we're moving to Jerusalem." Great. So they did. They moved. You know why? They moved because they knew that this mission was more important than their own comfort. Talk about doing that thing that seems so hard. I mean, relocating completely, moving to a whole new city for the sake of the mission. But they knew that was what mattered most. So they went. Our neighbors, Mark and Terry, great people, they lived this story out. They actually moved to Champaign to help plant a church, not as staff, not as pastors. They didn't get paid to come here. They actually had to find jobs here and find a place to live. Mark, actually, I think he got his first job here working for Mac McGregor, interestingly, who's a member of our church. So they moved here just to be a part of this mission of planting a new pocket of faith. Apparently, this happens a lot. There are churches all over the country that take so seriously this idea of expanding the kingdom by planting new pockets of faith. They recruit their own members to get together and to sell their homes and to move to a new city and find new jobs and new homes and to carve out a new community just for the sake of the mission. And people volunteer to go. People who know the mission is more important than our own comfort. So there's the first tough question for today. Not who's willing to go, but could you? Could you do that? Could you make that kind of sacrifice in order to participate in the mission of God? Sometimes faithfully following Jesus means putting our comfort aside, putting our own desires aside for the sake of the mission, for the sake of the kingdom. When I was first reading this and just typing out thoughts and observations, I wrote it this way. It's possible. It's possible that the kingdom of God spreads only as much as we are willing to sacrifice. Now, Nehemiah describes it in a fairly straightforward, matter-of-fact kind of way. No big deal. We drew straws, 10% moved to Jerusalem. That's what it took to accomplish the mission. Our challenge is this. We need to reach the point where we each care more about the mission than about our own comfort. No problem, right? Okay, come back next week with that done. It's not easy at all. I'm not there at all. I pray. I pray that God would be working in me, shaping my heart, repurposing me so that I can say that is true of me, that I'm more committed to the mission than my own comfort. I'm praying that it's true for all of us, that we would care more about this mission of connecting the lost and broken with Jesus than we care about our own comfort. I'm praying that God will make us willing to sacrifice in order for that to happen. Now here in chapter 11, some people leave home for the sake of the mission. Others stay at home for the sake of the mission. The rest of chapter 11, the part we didn't read, it goes through this long list of names of families in the country and where they lived. First, it names all of the people who relocated to Jerusalem. And then it describes all these other villages. It names them painfully detailed names of every city where the people had come back and where they stayed. This is chapter 11. This happens again in chapter 12. Nehemiah gives us this long list. And it happened back in, I think, chapter 7, this long list of all of the families. You're reading through this stuff, and you kind of want to ask yourself, God, did you run out of inspirational things to say here? I mean, why would you count every family and then list them all and do it three times, these long lists? It's kind of like, I don't know, any of you Lord of the Rings fans? How about like actually read the books, Lord of the Rings? Anybody? Come on, be proud, admit it. There's like eight of us, all right. We'll have a party sometime. And yeah, there we go. So you're reading the Lord of the Rings books. Eight of you will appreciate this illustration. And you come to the place where there are these songs, and they're written in the original Elvish. And there's some people, apparently, who have learned the original Elvish. I get to that part, and I just skip ahead to the end of the song. And that's kind of what these lists, these names of lists, feel like. It's kind of like reading the phone book. I mean, wow, why is this in the Bible? As I started thinking about it, I realized there's a pretty simple point. Every family gets named in here because every family matters. Every family in Israel is on the mission with God. Every single person in Jerusalem is a living brick in the walls of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God isn't fulfilled in that place until the last brick is in place doing its part. Every one of us has a part to play. Here in chapter 11, the mission gets personal. It even involves doing your part in the place where you live. As Nehemiah describes all of these villages, it's not an irrelevant detail. It's a critical detail because he's saying your residence, your village, your neighborhood, your home, that's where the mission starts. Think about it for a second. Your home, your house, your neighborhood. That's the beginning point for your participation in the mission of God. So what does that mean for us? I mean, what does it mean for you to join God in his mission, reconnecting people with the love of Jesus Christ? The people who live right next door to you in Cherry Hills or Robeson West or Ironwood, wherever you live. What does it look like for you to join God as a participant in his mission in the place where you live? What's God up to? How can you get involved? For generations, Americans and Europeans before us have considered missions something that you go somewhere and do. You go to another country and do missions. You go to another city with the youth group, you know, to do missions. Or maybe even you drive downtown and go serve at a project and you do missions there, and then you go back home. Don't get me wrong. Those things are not bad things, and that counts as missions, certainly. But Nehemiah is telling us today that you don't ever just go back home. Because missions, the mission of God, is aimed squarely at the neighborhood where we live. It's not something that we go somewhere else and do and then come back home. It is right where we live. The point is that our calling as followers of Jesus Christ is to get on mission and begin right where we live. If you think about it, in some ways, we're kind of doing that. We're living out chapter 11 of Nehemiah here at the launch. We've left what we know to try something new. And we've stepped out of our comfort zone. And let's be honest, sometimes it's not so comfortable out here. It can be actually kind of exhausting when you're doing the setup and tear down every week. We've left our home, and we've done it for the sake of the mission. We're doing it to help us get on mission right in the middle of the neighborhood where we live. At times, it does feel like a sacrifice. It feels like we are giving up something. But that's the only way the kingdom of God grows and the mission succeeds, which again brings us back to Jesus. In this book written 450 years before he lived, we see over and over again Jesus who sacrificed so that we might have life. Jesus who taught us that the way to get is to give yourself away. Jesus who showed us that in the midst of dying, God gives us life. When we walk away, when we're willing to sacrifice our own comfort for the sake of the mission, God blesses that mission. Because Jesus modeled it for us first.